Autumn, as I said, is a time of change. Comfortingly, autumn happens every year, so we're used to it. And, you know, there's a fair chance you'll get through it, isn't there? Summer is giving way to winter. I love autumn. I love the colors of autumn. I love the kind of, we have display, the beautiful, I love driving up Digswell Road into Welwyn Garden City and seeing all those beautiful colored trees when there were trees. They're growing again, but there were some. So I love autumn. And a lot of changes are like autumn. They're a regular occurrence. We barely notice them as changes. Life is full of changes. You're born is the biggest change, isn't it? You've probably gone through. You were not existing, and you're in a womb, and then you're out in the open air. Well, you're not aware of the change, of course. But it's a huge change, isn't it, to suddenly come into life? I mean, you know, wow. It's no wonder babies have their eyes open a lot, because that's what it's like. It's a terrific shock, really, to be born. Growing up is a change. One constant change, really. Teenage years, very conscious of things changing. How do you cope with it? And then you have marriage, having children, perhaps. Changing a job. Changing a house. Retirement comes along. All of these changes. People react differently to change as well. Some people love change, don't they? There are some people who major alterations in life, they just love things that are new and things that are altering rapidly. They just sort of slip into them like some of us put on an old pair of slippers. They really enjoy change. They don't like things staying the same for long. Many years ago, the name neophiliacs was given to such people, lovers of new things, because they loved what was new and something that could change. Some people like that. There are others people who hate change. I don't know, you might recognize which category you fall into. They can't stand change. They just love things that are familiar and safe and comfortable and terrified of the prospect of the unknown that change brings. How do you prepare for change? Well, you need a certain amount of faith. And I don't necessarily just mean religious faith. Some people have an enormous amount of confidence. They're just abounding in confidence. All will be well. Right. Mr. Micawber. Something will turn up. Right? There are people who live like that. But you do need some foundation, some stability to which you can cling while things are changing. A rock of certainty. You know the hymn, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." That was the hymn written in the 19th century. The hymn writer there found his stability in God. A lot of people do without God. They have other things to stabilize their futures. They call it luck or fate. They believe in. Sportsmen, sportswomen have little rituals. They touch the grass. They wear the same headband. You know, you see them running on a football pitch and they touch the grass and then they look up to heaven. I'm not quite sure who they're praying to, what they're praying for, but they are doing something. So people have this, many people have this different ways of somehow hoping that something bigger can govern, direct, guide their course and their future. But what really enables you to face the future with confidence? Now, all of us here have the biggest change after birth yet to come. And that's the change from life to death. And there's no bigger change than that. There's nothing more catastrophic. There's nothing more tragic for those left behind. No change is as final as that one. You could ask three questions. The first would be, what lies beyond? And I guess everyone here this evening might have different ideas about that. Might be interesting to have left you a pen and a piece of paper and said, please, before the end of the evening, write on it what you think lies after death. How many different views we might have had. Another question is this, can we know? Many people have claimed, you've probably read books or read about them in magazines, to have had near-death experiences or out-of-the-body experiences. They'll say they died but came back, or almost died but came back. How reliable are they? What authority does one person's experience have for other people? Whatever credence you give them. But how do you prepare for it as well? How do you prepare for death? The invitation to this evening's Harvest Supper says that there will be an introduction to the Christian faith, a brief introduction to the Christian faith. And it was C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian writer and author of the Narnia Chronicles, who said that a faith that cannot cope with the reality of death is not worth having. And the Christian gospel enables you to face that biggest and most shattering change that you will ever face. The one change you cannot come through. It's not like autumn, which comes around once a year. You cannot come through it unless you've made preparation beforehand. How does Christianity answer those three questions? Let's just wind up, really, by saying how Christianity answers those three questions. What lies beyond death? Well, Jesus taught heaven or hell as one of two destinations. Heaven for those who die with their sins forgiven through repentance and faith in Christ. Hell for those who die outside Christ. A Christian preacher said at a funeral recently of the person who had died who was a Christian, and I think this sums up the Christian outlook on death and the afterlife very well. He said of him, he has left the land of the dying to enter the world of the living. He's left the land of the dying, because that's us, whether we like it or not, that's us. The moment you're born, you're beginning to die. He's left the land of the dying to enter the world of the living. But is that just a Mr. Micawberish optimism? Is that just Christians hoping that something will turn up? Well, the second question I ask, not beyond what lies beyond it, is how can we know? Can we know? Well, has anybody come back to tell us what's beyond? Well, Christianity says absolutely yes. This is absolutely central to Christianity. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died on the cross. But he rose from the dead, and he wasn't just resuscitated. He did raise people in his ministry, people like Lazarus and people like the son of the widow of Nain and the little girl Jairus' daughter. He did raise them, but they died again. But Jesus himself didn't die again. He rose, and he stayed alive. And why was that resurrection so absolutely crucial to world history? It's simply that Jesus is showing there is a new world coming. He is the beginning of a new world. He wasn't just rising for himself, he was rising to bring in the whole beginning of a new creation. Jesus was the first of a whole new people who are going to one day come into a new heavens and earth. He defeated death. He proclaimed a new life beyond death for all who believe in him. Jesus doesn't come back to tell us lots about heaven. Interestingly, a lot of Christians ask me, what's heaven going to be like, they say? What are we going to be doing in heaven? What will it be like there? Will we have food there? And so, well, the Bible gives us some indications, but Jesus didn't come back to give us lots and lots of information about heaven. The most important thing he said about heaven is this, it's being with him. It's being with him. I will take you to be with me, where I am. And so you enter the world of the really alive, where there's no future death, and one day with risen bodies, you will be raised to life in a new creation. And the future for Christians is absolutely breathtaking. The glorious promise of a new heavens and a new earth. And Christ has come back to tell us. How do I prepare for it? That was the third question, wasn't it? How can I prepare for it? What lies beyond it? Can we know? How do I prepare for it? How do you prepare for death now? You prepare now. You know, the biggest change you can have in your life after birth and before dying, the biggest change you can ever go through in your life without dying is to become a Christian. Really. When I was 19, I was at university, I was just starting law studies there, and yes, I knew the Christian gospel, I'd been to church all my boyhood and teenage years, but I was talked to for the first time by lads of my own age, young men, and they were telling me about this personal relationship you can have with Jesus Christ. And I think it was the first time I'd ever heard it put like that. Or at least when you're 19 and it's not your dad telling you, you think it's the first time you've heard it. But it certainly came home to me in a new, powerful way. That actually Christianity is far more than just going to church and believing a few rules and regulations. And being a nice person or trying to be, but underneath you know you're not really, you're a hypocrite. It's knowing this person, Jesus Christ. And slowly over a few weeks, it wasn't a very long time, it seemed a long time, the Lord led me to put my faith in him and to repent of my sins and to have peace with him. And that really was the biggest change of my life. And that's governed my life ever since. And I'm sure any Christian here this evening would say the same thing. That's the change of changes, is to become a Christian. So you can know your life without dying, and to know the love of God, and to find the forgiveness of sins, and to find peace with God, and to find a peace of conscience, and to find assurance, and to know Jesus Christ dwelling in you. You can prepare for death. Now, mind you, being a Christian is not just preparing for death, it's a whole new life. But my friends, we never know quite when this life is going to end. And it's wise to know that we are in the land of the dying, and you need to change course to make yourself on the road for the world of the living. O thou who changest not. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't change. God who created, God who sent Jesus Christ into the world, God doesn't change. O God, O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's what a Christian knows and a Christian experiences. He will see you through this life. He will see you through all its changes. And some of you, I know, have been through, are going through, or will go through some very painful changes. But there's the biggest of all yet to come. And Jesus Christ will see you through that as well. So I urge you, I commend to you, prepare to live. Prepare to live. Receive Christ as a Savior, and he will see you into eternal life. Thank you.